Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat.
Yo, what's up?
And Chris.
Hey, brother.
How we doing, fellas? How we doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good.
My goodness, another wonderful day. You know what I say? Five fingers on each hand, you know, five toes on each feet. Blessed, not in the hospital. You know what I'm saying?
You only got five fingers alive. And five toes?
Five fingers on each hand.
Oh,
you know?
Each hand. Okay.
Yeah, five toes on each feet. You know,
I mean, on each feet.
This is good.
Each foot.
Foot, man, foot. Yeah. Okay. Foot, I guess English
foot,
wasn't your.
You know what I'm talking about. Come on, man, help me out. You know. I'm just blessed.
Right. Tournament.
I'm blessed.
We're in a tournament.
Tournament, and you're blessed. Thank God for good health, and thank God that we can just enjoy another day. You know, worship. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Even if Pat and Chris want to make fun of me this morning, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice.
Amen.
Also want to give some shout outs out there to the Bronx. My goodness, South Bronx in the house. And we want to just give a shout out there to Crystal and the whole crew. Oh, my goodness, just so blessed. And Pastor Debbie and Jordan Sky, growing up, my goodness, Najina, I'm telling you, it is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to have just everyone connect. I do want to welcome all of our new VFN Radio listeners this morning with us, Joanne, Karen, Tim, let's see here, Carolina and Lillian, they're coming from all over the place, Joe, Mark, Yvonne, Linda, Calvin, Yolanda. It's just so wonderful, wonderful that you can be a part of this just encouraging and empowering word that we're going to be sharing today. We have so much to talk about, but we do have, fellas, we do have an update. We do have an update.
Do tell.
Well, you know, last week we did talk about the infamous Mayor Bloomberg, right? Mayor Bloomberg and this 16-ounce over-the-limit Coca-Cola soda ban, you know, what is going on?
That's,
you know what I mean?
Ridiculous.
Trying to ban sugary drinks in New York City that are over a certain size. I believe it's over 16 ounces because there is an obesity problem. He said there is no, and 5,000 Americans die per day. Not per day. Was it per year?
Per day. Wow. We're in trouble.
We're in trouble per year. Well, the way he's talking, you think it's 5,000 per day.
Yeah,
it's
no
5,000 per year. And we have to put, there's a war on Coca-Cola, not even Coke, war on Coca-Cola, on soda, and not Coca-Cola company, but soda.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, last week we talked about, while there's a war on sugary drinks, 80% of New York City high school graduates, it's being reported, cannot even read. 80. And colleges are saying that they're not prepared. BMC, the Borough of Manhattan College, saying they're not prepared to do college work because they can't even read.
Unbelievable.
And it's like, what, you know, what is going on here? Well, I just wanted to let you know the update. As it just this law was about to kick into effect tomorrow, March the 12th.
Mm-hmm.
It's about to kick in tomorrow, and a judge stepped in and overturned the ban.
Oh, my goodness.
Kicked in. You know, thank you for judges that just look at laws and just say, get out. What are you doing?
Like,
what
really?
Are you
doing?
Really? The New York Supreme Court Judge Milton Tingling, I believe his name is Milton Tingling, said that basically that Mayor Bloomberg's attempts at portion control were both arbitrary and capricious. That's like careless, erratic, and helter-skelter.
Oh, wow.
he didn't add those words, but that's what the synonyms for capricious is: careless, erratic, and helter skelter. And he explains that the Board of Health's duty is to protect city residents by providing regulations that prevent and protect against disease.
Mm-hmm.
Diseases. Okay? This is not a disease. Right.
Soda is not a disease.
No. No. He says it does not argue that that they have the authority to limit or ban a legal item under the guise of controlling chronic disease. Does not have the right. And this is important. This is why we have laws. You know what I'm saying? This is why we have things to protect our rights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because someone can come in and arbitrarily say, I don't like sugary drinks. Tomorrow, say, I don't like candy. I don't like vegetables. I don't, whatever, you know, because of some study or because of what is happening. And this was a really, really, really good ruling. Also, he says that in order for him to ban, in order for it to be legal, there has to be imminent danger due to a disease. Imminent. Right. Imminent. So completely he stretched outside his parameters, mm-hmm. and totally went outside. But this is the thing that you got to see. In the midst of basically a rebuke like this, I mean, the judge lays it out so plainly, mm-hmm. you know, just lays it out. Yet and still, I mean, you should, you know, the mayor should say, okay, the court has decided, the Supreme Court of New York has decided,
mm-hmm.
we'll leave that one alone, okay? We won't go there. No,
right.
No. This mayor tweets out, we plan to appeal the sugary drinks decision as soon as possible, and we are confident the measure will ultimately be upheld.
Gonna appeal it.
Mm-hmm.
He makes a further statement to say, we believe that the judge is totally in error in how he interpreted the law and how we are confident to win an appeal. And he said, oh goodness. He says, one of the cases we will make is that people are dying every day. 5,000 people die of obesity every day. And yeah, it is every day.
Oh, now it is every day. It is?
5,000. Yeah, it is every day. 5,000 people die of obesity every day in America.
Wow. Isn't that your mayor?
No, that's not my mayor. I don't live in New York City. I'm not in New York City.
He's pretty close, though, right?
He has such a mouthpiece. I mean, he really does. And it's just like, if you want to regulate something, regulate, you know, all the crazy things that are happening in that city. You know what I mean? It's like,
all right, there's a lot more worse things out there that you should ban, yeah. than Coca-Cola.
Sugar, right. Sugar, soda. And unbelievable. Well, we're glad that this judge stepped in. And that's why it's good to have. I mean, look at our judicial system. I mean, it works. And it's peaceful and it gets the job done. And you know what? He has the right to appeal it. But the letter of the law is going to stand, and he doesn't have the right or the authority to do that. And so we can trust in the justice system and see how it's all going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was interesting. We wanted to share that update with you. But it just goes to show you how certain people, you know, certain, and they have certain politics that really want to just control and just make all type of decisions arbitrarily. And want to trample all over our rights. I mean, we have a constitution that we've been given rights by God, by our creator. And one of the travesties is that when people don't understand history, we don't understand what happened, they don't understand the Declaration of Independence and why this country was founded,
mm-hmm.
and 4th of July to them is, you know, this is what's happened in our country. It's just been so diluted. 4th of July, it's about fireworks, fun in the sun, barbecues, and hanging out. But how much do we really take the time to celebrate why this nation, is one of the greatest nations in the world,
Right.
And to think, you know, we have an immigration problem. How many countries can say, oh, you know, we have an immigration problem. People are trying to get into our country because it's so great and the opportunities are mm-hmm. so wonderful.
Yeah. I don't know of any other countries that have that problem.
Mm-mm.
I mean, really? And it's you know, a problem that we're going to address, and you know, we need a lot of prayer and just wisdom and how to address it. But, you know, overall, it really is a very good problem to have when you have people that are trying to come into your country. And because there's stability. You think about mm-hmm. everything that's happening in the world today. my goodness, I mean, you want to live in a place where you're going to be protected. You know what I'm saying? Where there's some laws, books, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you have some rights. And you have some rights. Mm-hmm. Because absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so an update for you today on the New York City ban, mayor's ban on soda has been overturned by the Supreme Court of New York City.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. You know, guys, I was speaking with one of my boys over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And actually, I was thinking about, you know, we've talked about on the radio program really for some time now how much technology has developed over the last 7 years. It's just developed, I mean, huge. The things we're able to do today with a high-speed internet, mm-hmm, is absolutely remarkable. And kids get on, you know, the internet today, and they have no idea that I had to explain to them that there was a dial-up system. I mean, this thing was like slow as molasses. It didn't do anything. I mean, yeah, it wasn't a big deal to get on the internet because there was no social media or anything, no videos or nothing like that, no flash or all that jazzy stuff that you see moving on your screen. That wasn't, mm-mm, I mean, the websites were very basic.
Yeah, very basic.
Very, very basic. And we were oohing and aahing over that, you know, mm-hmm, like, remember Netscape? Ooh.
Yeah, right.
And we also have spoken about how over the next 5 to 7 years, technology is just going to exponentially just move leaps and bounds. But I'm driving with my boys in the car, and we have one of those moments. You know, they're talking about iPods and iPads and iPhones, and they're talking about just basically all these new inventions that were coming out. My son says, you know, Dad, do you think that because Steve Jobs died, who, if you don't know, is the founder of Apple, who's, you know, they have the iPhone and the iPad and the Mac computers and, mm-hmm, a lot of the products that many people are using today. He says, because Steve Jobs died, do you think that Apple will no longer have all these products? And I, you know, said, well, I don't think so. I, you know, think they have enough depth or whatever. Mm-hmm. Something like that. I told him that, you know, people will keep creating. He didn't create everything. Obviously, he had talented people there. But then I got to thinking about Steve Jobs. And instantly I thought about this one man and how he had impacted technology that we use today. This one man, just follow me here because I'm going somewhere with this, you know. This one man impacted four major industries. Four. Some people are, I mean, if you can just impact one, you've done something remarkable. Mm-hmm. If you impacted one industry and you left your print, I mean, they're still talking about Henry Ford today. You know what I'm saying? They're still talking about Henry Ford. Mm-hmm. And this man affected four. I mean, he started off with a computer with, and this is not a biography of Steve Jobs, but just start looking at technology and just the things that people can do and just what's happening. So he starts off with a computer company, Apple, long time ago, and with a partner, Steve Wozniak, and they create this computer, you know, and it's amazing, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember when computers were so expensive, and I mean, I had a neighbor who had one. Was like, oh my goodness, and everything was green.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. This green,
it was all DOS code.
Yeah, this brown, this black screen with green writing was amazing.
Yeah.
Oregon Trail, I remember. Those round floppy disks and all that. Oh, my goodness. We have come such a long way. Mm-hmm. But computer was an amazing, I mean, normally there was, you know, computers the size of buses back then. And here now, a home personal computer, mm-hmm, was amazing.
Yeah.
So he affected the computer industry.
Yeah.
Then after some time, he left Apple. He was kind of ousted out of Apple from the guy he brought in, by the way.
Right.
He was ousted out of Apple and got involved in movies. And really short, you know, skipping a whole lot here. I don't profess to know his whole biography, but just know some things. And he got involved with Pixar. And if you know anything about Pixar, he wound up practically owning the company after a while.
Mm-hmm.
And Pixar created some of the wonderful movies that we have seen with our children, like Toy Stories. Mm-hmm. But they made Toy Story. This is the first time animation like that was ever created. And they made that movie for $26 million.
Well, as the form that you saw it, like digital.
Digital,
not
correct.
The first animation, right?
Right, digital. Right. Of that type of quality, which is revolutionary. I mean, to see...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the movie's a classic. It was $26 million to create, and it grossed $361 million worldwide.
Wow.
I mean, animation. And so, I mean, from that, of course, they have three Toy Stories, and they have all these amazing... I mean, just completely revolutionized that digital animation part of the movie industry. I mean, so much so that I believe Disney wound up buying it back from them, did a partnership, and I think Disney wound up buying it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was huge. I mean, it has never been done before. Mm-hmm. So here a guy who has touched computers, who gets involved in the movie industry and creates, I mean,
blockbuster. This isn't Steve Jobs. You're talking about some other guy.
No, this is Steve Jobs. This is Steve Jobs. He got involved with Pixar.
Okay.
He got involved with Pixar early on.
Okay. Some of the people I didn't know that.
And brought, yeah. Brought
the technology and everything. And then, you know, George Lucas was involved in the beginning, but he wound up just buying more and more and more of the mm-hmm. company and said, let me do this thing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And then got a contract basically to make some movies with Disney. And then, you know, years later, Disney wound up buying all of it out. But but this is when he had left Apple, which is the company he founded.
Interesting.
So he affects the movie industry in a profound way. And I don't want to get into the details of all of it, but I mean, it's like, I believe they said that all of Pixar movies now have grossed $7 billion. $7 billion. These are like animation for children movies, Cars, and all that type of stuff. And then...
Although I won't lie, I do enjoy those.
Yeah. They're pretty good. Son, I'm trying to watch this movie for you, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be here with you. Hey, let's enjoy it. I'm trying to suffer here with you watching. Ooh, is that Woody? Anyway. then... He comes back to Apple, and now he affects the music industry. This has been undone before. At this time, people were literally stealing music, mm-hmm. right? Downloading music. The music industry was hurting big time. And Steve Jobs creates this iPod that was going to revolutionize the way people carry music. I mean, back in the day, if all you had was 10,000 CDs, you had 5 disc CD changer and 600 CDs in your trunk if you're a music lover.
Right.
And then you couldn't get some of the oldie stuff and your parents couldn't listen to their old music. And you know what I'm saying? There was stuff that you just couldn't get a hold of. Mm-hmm. And everything was mass produced through CDs. And that was the best technology at the time. Remember, we had cassettes and 8-track and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he devises this device that you can compress, you know, music, and you put it on this Walkman, if you will, like we had back in the day, right, with cassette tapes, but you get a way that you can carry all of your music. Mm-hmm. And then you're talking about gigs. You're talking about thousands and thousands of songs on a mobile device. Totally revolutionized the music industry. Mm-hmm. And he created a platform where people can actually pay now for music. Totally changed the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
One person. Talking about computers. We're talking about movies. We're talking about music now, and you would dare say that he almost saved the music industry. There was, I mean, they had other MP3 type players out, but nothing could come close to what iPad, and there hasn't been. There's been other attempts, but
iTunes,
other companies.
You mean?
Well, iTunes and iPod are kind of, you know, they work together. iTunes is the store for the iPod,
right?
Where people
right.
could buy the music. But other companies have tried to come close, and they can't even replace anything that comes as close as the technology and the format and all those different things. Then he gets into the cell phone industry and creates the iPhone. Up until this moment, there was nothing on the market that could even come close. I mean, they had Windows-based software. We know them today as apps. But Windows-based software, that kind of worked. He had the hourglass deal, and, you know, most people didn't know how to do that. But what he did was simplify and make a fantastic product that was in the hands of the masses, which really was a handheld computer that happened to be a phone, the truth be told.
Mm-hmm.
But it was an amazing device. You got computers, movies, music, cell phone, and then the tablet. He comes out with the iPad. Today, this iPad, because of this invention, has literally crippled laptop sales, and they've outsold tablets than personal laptop computers. Mm-hmm. And tablets were around before, but again, a new innovative invention totally came and swept and just took over, just took over. Mm. So you're looking at this technology. Yeah, yeah, totally amazing. One man affects four industries, major industries. And in 2013, Q1, the first, you know, they call it their annual reporting, you know, they sold 47.8 million iPhones, 22.9 million iPads, 12.7 million iPods, 4.1 million Macs, computers. Mm-hmm. That's $54 billion of revenue in a three-month period of time. But you know what, guys? At Steve Jobs, today, he's dead.
Yeah.
He's dead. A young man who died of cancer. It's estimated at the time of his death, he was worth $6.5 to $7 billion. $6.5 to $7 billion. And I think about, and I talk with my sons about this verse of scripture that the Lord laid on my heart. Mark 8:36. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? All of that money, all of that technology, all of that impact in technology and in the world, and the millions of products that have been sold worldwide, it is now the number one company in the world.
Wow.
And yet, what does it profit a man? When you think that no amount of money, no amount of technology can take care of your soul. I mean, no amount of medicine. I mean, surely money wasn't the issue, because he could have gotten the best medical treatments. Mm-hmm. He could have gotten the best medicines. He could have had the best environment to heal and do what he needed to do. He could have had the best of the best of the best. And yet not even $6.5, $7 billion could what? Buy him his health or keep him alive.
No.
No amount of money. Nope. And there's no amount of money that can buy you the three precious things that are so important in your life. There's no amount of money that can buy you your peace. Mm-mm. How many people have we seen? How many people have we seen that have passed away? That have passed away and didn't have no peace?
Yeah.
I mean, they have riches, wealth, fame, fortune. The love of fans around the world, and yet they have no peace. And they're tormented and drink themselves and drug themselves, you know, and it's like
oblivion.
Medicate themselves because they can't find any peace. I mean, I didn't have millions of dollars and I didn't have any peace. Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I didn't have any peace. And I didn't understand. I used to think that was a cute name when they called Jesus the Prince of Peace. But when I met Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I understood what that name, his name meant, the Prince of Peace, to have peace in your life.
Right.
People need peace. You know, your health No amount of money, no amount of money can purchase your health. I mean, it's reported, I believe, that he even tried to get a liver transplant and bought a liver. But he still died. He still died. I mean, the Bible says that it's appointed a day for each man to die and then the judgment. No amount of money can keep you alive. They're talking about freezing Hugo Chavez. I mean, it's like, that's, you know what I'm saying? It's like, you can't, we are not, we're going to die. We're going to die. So no amount of money can buy your peace. No amount of money can buy you your health. And no amount of money can save your soul, can give you the salvation. I mean, the Word of God says that what good is it for someone to gain the whole world, all the riches, all the fame, all the wealth, all the land, the whole world, all the power, all the resources, all the technology, all the medicine, and yet forfeit their soul? Because you know what? We're going to pass away. It's all going to be over one day.
That's right.
Or what can a man give in exchange for their soul? Your soul is the most precious, precious thing you have. And Jesus died. Jesus died for you. I want to encourage you today that as we live through life and go through life and we see people gaining things and gaining wealth, and that we don't fall into a trap of admiring things that have no significant eternal value. Your soul is precious to God. He died for you. He died for me. He died for us all. And we can give him our life. We can give him our life. Because at the very end, on people's deathbeds, and I've been to many people's deathbeds as a chaplain for the LSU Medical Center. I lived and worked in the hospital around the clock. That people only have two regrets when they pass away. Yeah. One, I wish I would have done more for my family because I'm getting ready to leave them. And the second is I wish I knew God because I'm getting ready to see him.
Yeah.
You can avoid tomorrow's regrets today. The thing about people that have a lot of wealth, too, is they try to stay immortal. And you even see people now, they're trying to do everything they can with fitness and eating right and eat the right vegetables. And all, they worship the body instead of worshiping the Lord who created the body. We weren't meant to worship the body. We were meant to worship the God who created the body. And why are we fighting so much to stay alive if what we're doing with our life doesn't have significant eternal significance of the kingdom of God? I want to encourage you today that if you've been seeking God and someone turned you on to VFN Radio, I want to tell you that God loves you and he died for you. He has a plan for your life. And that if you give him your life, you exchange your life, he'll give you true life, eternal life to come. We'll be right back.
God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you fell and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that, we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Oh, my goodness. John, have you been listening to the daily VFN radio program?
You know I have.
Oh, man. Such good content. Hey, are you on Facebook?
Of course.
Wow. You've got to check out the VFN TV page on Facebook.com. And if you haven't, you check it out. You can go on Facebook.com/VFN TV. You know, when you're listening to the radio program and you're listening to a segment that's just, you know, speaking to you, and you know that, you know, there's friends that's really going to encourage them, you can click share. And those friends who are all your friends who you're connected with on Facebook, they'll immediately get what you share.
Wow, that's awesome. It's a great way to continue to spread the word, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Check it out. Facebook.com/VFN TV.
There is nothing, I mean nothing, Pat, mm-hmm. worse than man's religion. Yeah. You know, man's attempt to work his way to God.
Right.
You know, I'm just trying to get right mm-hmm. in my own works and stuff. And there's nothing more enjoyable than a relationship with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And that he's called us to walk in intimacy with him. I mean, the statement, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is not just some pat answer to let somebody know that you're saved. The question is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you guys chat? Do y'all talk? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you hear him? Do you know his voice? And that, you know, and you may be listening right now and thinking, I didn't know you could do that. I just listened to my preacher talk, or I just listened mm-hmm. to my pastor speak, or I listened to teachers, or I read other people who heard from God. Which is, you know, that's cool. But God loves you and wants to talk mm-hmm. to you.
Right.
You know, and people want, they want this. Mm-hmm. But sometimes they just need a simple plan to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can find that plan. We have a plan for you that can begin you on a simple abiding plan. Because he says in John 15, apart from abiding with me, Jesus says this, right. you can do nothing.
Right.
And if you want to get freedom in your life, you want to begin to do something, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? And watch what God's able to do. Begin from the point of success, which is abiding with him. You can go right now to iabide.org, just like the iPhone, iabide.org. Read a little bit about it. If you like it, go ahead and write there, request an abiding plan. Immediately, you'll be given an abiding plan. It has a video, has how to do it, some simple little steps to do it. And it's not as complicated as religion made it out to be. Listen, God wants to talk with you. Mm-hmm. You can write your own devotional. Listen, right. just try it for 6 weeks. Just say, you know, for 6 weeks, I'm going to begin. Because they say it takes about 40 days to build a habit. Mm-hmm. You know, take 6 weeks out of your life and say, you know, for the next 6 weeks, I'm going to abide daily at a certain time in a certain place. And it has all this kind of tell you how to do it. And just watch what happens and see how your life begins. Watch how God begins to speak to you. Mm-hmm. You can find this at iabide.org. Request your free plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And before the break, we were talking about what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for their soul? We talk about Steve Jobs and all the ways that he impacted four major industries, movies, music, cell phone, computers, tablets, and yet at the very end, having been worth $6.57 billion, even all the money and all the technology in the world couldn't heal him. He died of cancer. Mm. And there's no amount of money. There's no amount of money that can buy four precious things. We talked about three precious things, but we left out one other one. But no amount of money can buy your peace. I mean, if you've been distraught before, I mean, just give me some peace. No amount of money can buy your peace. No amount of money can buy your health. I mean, think about it. Can't make you 100% healed if you had a stricken disease.
Right.
No amount of money can buy love, true love, right? No amount of money can buy love. You don't buy love.
Mm-mm.
Love can't be bought. Love is given. Love can't be bought. And no amount of money can buy the salvation of your soul. Nothing. All we can do is give and accept what Jesus Christ has already done. We need to get out of that rat race and stop looking at the things of this world that people think will make them happy. Happiness is something that just happens, but joy, true life, true living only can come from an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. But you can have an abiding relationship when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, and he becomes your very best friend. He's not the man upstairs. He's not the co-pilot. He's not somewhere up in the... He wants to be your very best friend. I want to encourage you that some of us have written out our stories, our encounters on how we met God. And you can read a little bit more. We didn't write everything, but you can find out more at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. But, you know, Pat and Chris, recently in God's News Behind the News, Christians in Pakistan are being persecuted. Mm. These are brothers and sisters that are being persecuted by Muslims in mob attacks.
Wow.
I want you to listen up to this segment from CBN. You know, this is, you don't find this on everyday news channel, but let me tell you, it is happening. It is happening, and you got to know. Listen to this.
On the side of the rebels. Pakistan's Christians are calling for justice after a Muslim mob attacked a Christian neighborhood in Lahore this weekend. This was the scene on Saturday after hundreds of rampaging Muslims tore through the Christian community, destroying about 170 homes. The mob was fueled by the arrest of a Christian man on charges that he blasphemed Islam's prophet Muhammad. Most Christians fled their homes before the attack, and there were no reports of deaths. Sunday, they marched in the streets of Islamabad and other cities, calling on the government to protect minorities.
Of course, this is quite clear that the government of Pakistan has failed to protect the rights of the minorities. Minorities are responsibility of the government. This is their job and responsibility to protect them. And if 200 houses have been burned in the presence of the police, that is a clear indication that it is failure of the government.
Hmm. Blasphemy against Muhammad is a serious crime in Pakistan, and it carries the death penalty. Those laws are often used as an excuse to persecute Christians. Asiya Bibi, seen there, a Christian mother of three, has been facing a death sentence since her blasphemy conviction 3 years ago. Those who stand up against the laws also risk their lives. Shahbaz Bhatti, a Christian and Pakistan's minister for minorities, was murdered after protesting Pakistan's blasphemy laws. And for more on this, we're joined now by senior international correspondent Gary Lane. Gary, how are these blasphemy laws impacting Christians? Are they afraid to talk about their faith?
Yeah, they are afraid to talk about their faith because if they speak out about it, they get killed, yeah. Or at the very least, they're threatened, intimidated, maybe even thrown in jail. So they're hesitant to talk about the truth and speak out about these horrid laws, they're archaic laws that have been on the books since 1985, 87, mid-80s. President Zia implemented them. Or put them into place.
Right.
But it's why many times are used against Christians just as a ploy.
And why do you think there isn't more public outrage, especially from the international community?
I think the international media considers this just, oh, this is just sectarian violence. Christians and Muslims going at it again. But they need to see this as a human rights issue. These are poor Christians. Most of them are just street sweepers, farm laborers, and these mobs will come after them simply on a rumor that someone did something. There's no evidence at all. And many times when these cases move up in the court system, they're thrown out by the higher courts because there is no evidence.
And they think they have some sort of, not just legal right, but some sort of spiritual right to persecute these Christians because they have blasphemed, so-called blasphemed Muhammad.
Well, that's the key, isn't it? You know, there's no tolerance for another opinion or someone just voicing something that you may find offensive. They'll go out, you know, rampage through the streets, steal what they can from the homes of the Christians, and then set them on fire. That's what happened here.
Gary, what's the latest on the Asiya Bibi case, the mom who's facing the death sentence?
Well, we're still waiting for her appeal to go to a higher court. The court has been hesitant to accept the case at this time because of the intimidation again. Right. On the lower court level, judges are bribed and intimidated. Higher court level, less likely. So it's just a matter of someone with courage coming forward and saying, we'll accept this case, looking at the evidence and saying there's no evidence and throwing it out.
And then how can we as Christians help the persecuted church in these people in Pakistan?
Well, the first thing they always say to us is pray.
Sure.
Pray for us that God will give us strength to endure this persecution. Not that he'll free us from it, but we'll endure it, that we'll have stronger backs to endure this. The other thing is to support those groups like the Voice of the Martyrs that help the people. These people are out in the middle of nowhere with no housing now, 175 families. They need help.
That's right. The Bible says pray for those in chains. Gary
yes,
Lane, we always
right.
appreciate your
Amazing.
Insight.
Thank you,
Wendy. Thanks so much.
Amazing. Looking at this, 200 houses have been burned in the presence of police. 200 houses of Christians have been burned in the presence of police, and there's not an outrage. Nothing is being done about this there.
Wow.
And it's like the persecution is real. It is happening every day to Christians across the world, and particularly this was a Muslim attack. You know, we've talked about on VFN Radio, Jesus and the Jews, right?
Yeah.
Jesus and the Jews, and you understand that for Christians, preaching that Jesus is the Son of God is and the only way to God, that is seen as an adversarial position to the Quran, where Muhammad writes that Jesus is not the Son of God and that he will have to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God. That's adversarial to them.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to change. We're not going to not tell the truth. The truth is the truth.
Yeah.
The truth is the truth. Right now, it's considered blasphemy. It's considered a serious crime to speak blasphemy against Muhammad. And it's like, come on now, come on now. You're gonna see these persecutions happen because why is that the name of Jesus? Mm. Why does the name just invoke so much hatred and anger? What? There's just power in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
The devil will try everything that he can do to try to snuff it out. And you know what? You can't snuff out God. I love, what those Christians, our brothers and sisters there in Pakistan, asked for. They didn't ask for, you know, protests with us, and they didn't ask that, you know, do all these other things.
Right, or deliver them from the persecution.
Yeah, they said pray. Pray, pray for what? Pray for grace. Grace is the empowerment, the help, the strength to endure.
Mm-hmm.
Who endures these days? To
That's
endure
right.
the persecution, not to flee the persecution. If we pray for the grace to endure and they make it, that means that they make it through, they survive it.
Mm-hmm.
Then that means that God can continue to have a foothold in Pakistan and that the glory of God will continue to spread. You know, let's believe not only that they will endure, but that they will thrive and that the kingdom of God will continue to advance in such a powerful way throughout Pakistan. And that Jesus will be Lord, Lord of all. I mean, right now, there's so many people right now crying out and looking for God. And it's time. It's time for a move and an outpouring of God to spread all across the world. And I just want us to stand and remember our Christian brothers that were willing to be persecuted. The next time that you hear a sly joke, the next time that you may be mocked at the water cooler, the next time you may hear something about being a Christian in this country, remember that there are Christians that are losing their lives in other countries, and that we can stand with them in prayer, stand for their protection, and stand that the kingdom of God will advance in their land. We'll be right back.
Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man. You know, I'm the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed, you know. I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval, and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know. I get back there and I sit down. I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do. And he was just very encouraging, you know, and he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education, you know. You think I could have got one there with 1,200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off. So I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
Which is kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But, you know, that's what VFNU is about. You know, Vine Fellowship Network University is that, you know, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on VFNU.org today. That's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used. That they had a deep education, and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know. And by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized. But they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen. And they just couldn't get it. But just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. They had Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to even, you know, go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, to just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And we just were talking about the persecuted church in Pakistan. Pray for Pakistan and endurance and for the kingdom of God to advance. And in the first hour, we talked about four things that no amount of money can buy, can't buy. Four things. Mm-hmm. You definitely want to hear that and be encouraged. But we do want to share in the extra hour, my goodness, we have just some encouraging word for you. VFN Torch Top 3, of course. We're talking about resisting the devil. He needs to be resisted. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're going to talk about how you have caught God's eye. But I know, Pat, that you were sharing something.
Yeah, yeah. Something you said earlier really reminded me of scripture I'd read earlier. It's in Matthew, chapter 19. Remember the rich man? And
yes.
He has this dialogue with Jesus. And he comes up to Jesus and he says, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to have eternal life?"
Mm.
And then Jesus says, basically, you know, obey the commandments. And then, right. Of course, the guy goes, you know, just his shirt, you know, he goes, "Well, you know, I've obeyed all those things." You know, he lists off all these commandments he's obeyed and since he was a youth and all this. But Jesus says, "But you lack one thing, though." He says, "If you want to be perfect," he says, "go sell your possessions." Excuse me. "Go sell your possessions."
Possessions.
"And your possessions. And give to the poor. And you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me." Well, then the guy, obviously, he had a change of heart. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. he goes, and then the young man, when he heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Think about it. You were talking about Steve Jobs and all the things that he did, all these things he amassed and couldn't even save his own life.
Yeah.
You know, here this guy is, had the opportunity, you know, walk away from it to follow Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And it's just remarkable just what a grip this had on him. But then, you know, later on it says, Peter, you know, they had this dialogue afterward, but Peter says, "Well, we've left everything to follow you. What will there be there for us?" And Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Think about that. That would be just like blow me away. And then he says, "And everyone who has left houses, brothers, sisters, fathers, mothers, or children, or fields, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who will be first will be last, and many who are last will be first." So you see a total, just a complete switch on
contrast.
Just contrast between obviously what that young man struggled with and how the disciples answered the call to follow Jesus. But yet Jesus says, if you've left all these things, you know, you're going to inherit eternal life, and I'm going to give you hundreds much as what you've left behind.
That's right.
So there's a promise for us, that even though that, you know, it may look like we're sacrificing, we're giving up all these things, you know, God's got so much more in store for us.
So much more.
And I've always told my family, say, look, no matter what we have or what we don't have, whatever it is, hold it loosely, because you can't hang on to it. You can't take it with you, because one day it's just all going to burn.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
That's so powerful. I was thinking the same exact thing.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, you have your hand, you have something. If you're holding something tight in your hand, that means what? You just settled for what's in your hand. Right. And so many people are settling for what God's put in their hand.
Yeah.
But if you open it up and you allow God to take it out, then that means God can put something else bigger and better in there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I remember Paul said, he goes, "I learned how to abase, I learned how to abide. You know, I've been with lack and I've had much." It just doesn't matter.
That's right.
I remember I heard Steve Hill say the other night, he says, "Man, I've lived in mansions, you know, and I've lived in shacks, you know, like in Argentina," you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, it didn't matter. When God says, "Get up and go," he just took off. He's moved like 24 times.
Wow.
24 times he's moved.
24 times. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I'm like, Lord, let nothing have a hold of me. I'll let it all go.
Goes back to what you're saying, is that, you know, the Word of God says, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. and everyone has to do such a heart check to find out where is your treasure? What are the things that you value most in your life? Because that's what's so close to your heart. If you treasure God, mm-hmm. hopefully we'll get time in the second hour to talk about the will of God. The will of God. Because you know what? You want to be in God's will. You want to be right smack dab in the middle of it. But if you're fighting to hold on to your will and the little thing that you have in your hand, you'll never, ever, ever walk into the greatness and the fullness that God has for you. Mm-hmm. You know, God will take you on a journey to hold everything loosely, so that you can gain everything that God has for you.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those that are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.